G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Will, and today we are talking the Fremantle Dockers with Liam. Liam, how's it going?
It's not too bad. I'm going to talk about, I feel like every episode that I've done to start this year is about a team that frustrates me. I've been on the GWS episode, I've been on the Port Adelaide episode, and now I'm on another team that just grinded my gears all year.
I'd like to say it's by design, but I think it's just purely scheduling the way it's worked, actually.
I don't think it's a mistake. Like, I feel passionately about some of the players on these teams, and like, I think they can do better. And so, like, I want to be on them, but then also I get slightly frustrated.
But it's okay, because you are cool and calm as a cucumber, and I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on some of these frustrating players.
Keen as.
All right, so Fremantle last year fell off a bit. Liam, do you want to give us a bit of a history or how they went last year?
Yeah, so in terms of their record, they finished with 4 wins and 6 losses. They finished 13th on the ladder, which is definitely a step down on where they'd been the last few years. They failed to make finals and never really stood in with much of a chance by the end of it, sadly. In terms of the kind of work that they did around the ground, this was an extremely low mark team. They were a bottom third team for marks around the ground. They also were a, you know, relatively low handball team. Also not particularly many kicks either. So they were a relatively low possessions, low marks.
Yeah, and they didn't do much of anything, really.
They also couldn't kick many goals either. So they really did struggle in their forward line. They struggled moving the ball with much efficiency. They really did make me want to tear my hair out sometimes with how they sought to move the ball. But one thing you can't say is they didn't lack for pressure in tackling. That's where they really did dominate other sides last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to that tackling side of things shortly, because there's a major route that a lot of people will be across, but some of them might be and might be a little shocks, but we'll start with the ends. Who's come into the club?
Yeah, so most notably, we've got 3 relatively well-known quantities coming in. So Ash McCarthy has been traded from the other side of town, moved across from West Coast. Gabby Newton has been traded from the Western Bulldogs, the former defender slash midfielder slash forward.
And then slash ruck, throw it in there.
Then you've also got Ash Brazel, who was a netballer and then a defender and a midfielder at Collingwood.
And finished her career as a forward at Collingwood as well. So she's another one that's played all across the ground. So it seems like versatility seems to be a bit of a factor in the ins.
Which is definitely frustrating, because I always felt like no one could nail down a role at Fremantle. And then in terms of their outs, predominantly the outs are actually from players who will just miss this season. So Ange Stannett did her ACL in the preseason, meaning she'll miss the year, and then Kiara Bowers is pregnant and she'll also miss the season. So that is the 2 leading tacklers for Fremantle last year, and 2 extremely high scoring players. So that's the 2 highest scorers from Fremantle last year who are now gone. Now for Ange Stannett, that's, you know, a bit of a, like, you know, it's a bit of a sad moment, but she was a defender last year and therefore really relevant, but may have struggled to stay relevant this year as a midfielder. But Kiara Bowers, it's almost a case of I'm being saved from myself. I can't bring her in. Ipso facto, she can't derail my season as she did 2 years ago and nearly did last year.
Yes. So I think a lot of the players who played last year will remember all of the hassle of the late withdrawal of Kiara Bowers in the first round, and that probably derailed a lot of people's AFLW fantasy careers before they even started, unfortunately. But arguably the greatest fantasy player in AFLW history out for this season. It leaves a massive, massive gap in that midfield. And Ange Stannett, as you said as well, has been named captain, which is
interesting.
An interesting choice for a player who's going to be out for the rest of the season, but clearly they rate her leadership very, very highly. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds at Fremantle. As you've said, Liam, it's a bit of an unknown, and it remains a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, their midfield is going to feature heavily in the discussion that we're going to have for the rest of this episode. One other thing I just wanted to note is that three part-time rucks or rucks that were on the list from last season are no longer there. So Roxy Roo, who is a ruck forward utility, has gone across to West Coast in the Ash McCarthy trade. And then Emily Feidler and Sarah Wheelstra were two of the four rucks that were actually still on the list last year. So at the moment, it's just Mimstrom and Ariane Hetherington. So that's another thing to just note, because that'll come up in conversation later.
Yeah, absolutely. And that conversation, we've got a fantastic interview to come, but unfortunately, much like our Hawthorn episode, we've had to put that at the end because we, due to scheduling, have only been able to record that just before this episode has come out. So stick around for that one. It's going to be a super exciting one with Megan Kaufman, a very interesting player in terms of fantasy that we'll get to in a bit. But let's jump into the top five players that are fantasy relevant. And Liam, I think there's a couple here that are very interesting ones to start.
Yeah, I'll start off with probably the only one of two players at Fremantle that I could say are a shot of being a top six, top five premium this season. And this is Emma O'Driscoll. So she was a top 10 averaging defender last year, and she'll come into the season priced at 66, which is nothing to roll your eyes at. But I think what we did like is there were a number of times this season, last season, where she showed that she's got a ceiling above 80. She had a game of 110 against North. And in the back half of the year, she averaged just a hair over 70 points per game. Now, I don't know if that necessarily presents an astronomical degree of value, but I do think that she is by far and away the most important back half player for Fremantle, and I don't think it's particularly close. I think that the only other players, like there's a case to be made that a Sarah Verrier is somewhat important as a defender, but again, she's got versatility. And then one player that I'll keep my eyes on is Maddie Scanlon, who will be coming into her third season this year and was their main kicking taker. But Emma O'Driscoll is an elite intercept mark. She made the All-Australian team for the first time last year, and I also think that she was by far and away their most looked-for player when transitioning the ball out of defence, as much as sometimes she's not got the world's prettiest kicking action, it's still very effective. So I think if you're looking for a player that I'm pretty confident will do well this year, I think Emma O'Driscoll's pretty comfortably up there.
Yeah, I think one of the key things for Emma O'Driscoll is that across the 10 rounds last year, only dropped below a score of 58 twice. So while there's only one sort of big ceiling score in that 109 against North, very, very consistent. And consistency is so important in AFLW fantasy, especially from your backs.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't have her in my side at any point last year, but it was also a player that I was like, oh, you know what, like if I do need to look for that consistent option towards the back end, she's right high on my list of I'm pretty sure I'm going to get that 65 to 70 score. So it's not a particularly, you know, name up in lights first option for most relevant, but I think that's because there's an element of de-risk in putting this name up so high.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You're talking about de-risking with Emma O'Driscoll. We're going to move to your number two, who has always been a player that's fantasy relevant, but the risk here is a fair bit more than with Emma O'Driscoll.
I think it's in the time that you've taken to do that interview, she's popped her shoulder out twice and put it back in. It's Gabby O'Sullivan now. She is just a tantalising option every year. So the first season we played AFLW Fantasy, she was a 75-plus averaging player. She was a forward. She was a number one forward that year. Just an incredible, incredible fantasy player, and was playing as a full-time midfielder, tackles really well, is a real in-and-under option. Now, got pushed out a couple of times in games, but that's because she probably plays a little bit too much like Kiara Bowers at times. Now, in the last 2 years, she's been spending more time off the half-forward line and also been hampered by injury. Last year was no exception. Looked great round one, was a full-time midfielder, scored a 79, I think. comes in next round, pops a shoulder out for a one, and then that relegates her to, you know, some time on the sideline. And she didn't really see much time in the midfield after then. So she's going to be priced at 39 this year. Now, it's a relatively rare set of parameters, or a relatively rare option in the forward line to have someone we know who can score above 75 in a team that is quite obviously missing midfielders, that we get an option priced so cheaply. And so that's why I think she's super fantasy relevant this year and will be someone that I think we're going to have our eyes on in the preseason. And I think we'll be in a fairly large chunk of teams come round one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we do look at it back to that first season where we just know that she can be the player, and it's just entirely role dependent because, as you say, started in the center round one, good score of 75, does the injury, and then spends the rest of the year in the forward line. If that forward line role returns,
it's a do not touch, do not pass, go, do not collect $200. Yeah, and so I think that's the problem with Freo. Like, there's so many options that the coaching regime thinks are forwards and midfielders. You could never be certain who actually was going to play in the midfield each week in the rotation alongside Turbo. And that was a real, real tough situation for everyone who was trying to play the game. And I also think it did impact their scoring inside forward 50 because I don't think anyone really wedded down a comfortable role inside forward 50 outside of Anya Tighe.
Yeah, I agree. And moving on to the number three is probably the only midfielder that we can actually say will be a midfielder in Dana East.
Yeah, this is one where, like, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. That's why I've put it here. It's the only player that I think I can comfortably say will be a midfielder come round one. Now, if you look at her first three seasons, you're not exactly going to be blown away by her fantasy scoring. She's basically averaged the same thing, around 52, 53 every single year she's been in the competition. And so, that's not a great profile for a younger player. Why are we picking her? She's always just had those flashes, those moments that make you go, oh, wow, this is a really talented player. And I think you can rest on the fact that she came to football relatively late. She wasn't a big player of AFL before transitioning, like switching across kind of a couple of years, 3 years before being drafted. She's the only player, midfielder, left at Fremantle this year who averaged more than 50% CBAs last year. I think that it's very much one that she sits in a price bracket that's really tough to fill basically on any line. Maybe there's a couple of forwards priced at this area that you could pick. Like, she's priced similarly to Hannah Ewings based on what they've averaged. But I think if you're looking to fill that M4 spot, she could be a real option. And maybe she's not an option round one to start off, but she's an option to bring in if you do see a role that allows her to use her natural athleticism and skill and classiness over the ball to the point where I think you could pick her. It's one of those ones where, like, I'm having to bet on progression, like natural progression, as a large portion of my analysis as to why I should pick her, which I don't love doing, but I think there's something there. There's just a few too many flashes, a few too many moments where I go, oh, this could be a real player. So she's ranked highly. She won't be in my team most likely to start round one, but she'll be high on the list of players that I'm keeping tabs on to who could potentially break out into that kind of 80 averaging midfielder level, particularly all the points that have left that midfield group.
Yeah, I think the thing as well that makes me sit up and look at this one is that in the last three rounds last year, she's had 19, 16, and 24 disposals, which are three of her top four disposal counts across her career quite comfortably, which suggests to me that they're much more comfortable with her playing a more main role. And with some of those other midfielders now missing, you'd expect that to continue. But as we've talked about with Freo, who knows?
Keep an
eye on the preseason. Maybe she'll.
And I don't love, like, this much projection. Like, it's a bit different to a Gabby where I go, oh, if she gets the role, she'll score. Like,
yeah.
Dana East has had the midfield time, but probably hasn't been the number one midfielder in the way that they set up around the ball and at stoppages. So this one's double risky. I'd love to put her higher, but I think it's an interesting name, not a smash pick at this stage.
I agree. And for me, the biggest worry here is that you do get that improvement and that improvement amounts to a 65.
Yeah, agreed.
And then you're kind of struggling to generate cash, going to have to waste a trade to move it. Yeah, probably not one for me to start, but definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yep.
I guess the other only midfield certainty, based on what you've said before, is what's happening in the ruck.
Yeah, Mimstrom. She had a real kind of another leap just into that pretty consistent top echelon of rucks last year. She was number 5 on averages and sat kind of in a pretty comfortable area, averaging effectively 80 points. I think that, again, if you're betting on consistency, she really did show that she's got a pretty consistent fantasy game. So that's why I've got her in some of the most relevant. And I think this year, unlike in previous seasons, we've not got a great crop of rookie options that we really trust. We don't have a drafted ruck, a recently drafted ruck that we go, oh, you're coming in to play a full-time role. We're probably only going to have one or two rookie-priced rucks who are actually going to play decent minutes. So we're then having to make the call of, do we go mid-priced areas? Do we really take a punt on, say, a Montana McKinnon making the leap with extra game time? Do we say that Jess Allen looks better and takes another leap with more game time without another ruck there? Do we pay for a Fleur Davis, a Sarah Lakai, or do we just jump straight up to a premium? And I think that Mimstrom and Ali Morfitt are two rucks that have comfortably zero competition on the rest of their team for ruck minutes. And as a result, I think you're getting a comfortable 80 each week. And I think you can rest pretty easy in knowing that. And if you want to avoid making extra trades in your ruck line, I wouldn't begrudge picking Mimstrom.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Strom, you said it before, the consistency. She scored 2 scores of 57 in the 10 games last year. Every other game, barring her opening couple of rounds, was basically between 73 and 83. She was just in that bracket for pretty much the entire year. And as you say, it's basically bank an 80, move on.
Yeah. And if anything, if you wanted to take a bet on some improvement, I still think she's a very capable tackler. And we know that at least, you know, nearly 20 tackles from last season have gone out the door with Stannett and Bowers going out of the team. So I think that if a player who can, against Richmond, lay 8, against North, lay 7, against Essendon, lay 6, against Collingwood, lay 6. This is someone who is not uncomfortable being a high tackle player. So if you wanted to bank on even a slight boost in her scoring, that would be where I'd be looking. And I wouldn't begrudge you. I think that she fits as a similar value proposition as Alice Edmonds, who is definitely someone that you know, we know is going to be pretty consistent and has a decent ceiling.
Yeah, and you also said, like, banking on some potential improvement. She's played 49 games for Fremantle and still only 22.
Yeah.
So she's still got so much time to continue to improve. I think that this is a pretty solid set-and-forget ruck, if that is the tactic that you want to go for.
100%. And on the topic of set and forget, let's talk about something that isn't even close to that.
Mid-forwards?
Yeah, mid-forwards again. So these ones that I think, again, frustrated us last year, and I'm assuming they will this year, and that's Megan Kaufman and Hayley Miller. So
our interviewee.
Who
we're going to say isn't frustrating at all.
No, she's not frustrating whatsoever in the way that she plays, but this is two midfielders who are both priced at basically 60 and who have shown some elite fantasy ceiling, particularly Hayley Miller. She's done it for basically the entire season, but for whatever reason, they'd show some great scoring and some great minutes inside midfielder, and then would just get relegated to the half forward line again. So there would be absolutely times in the back half of last year where the inside mids were Kiara Bowers, Sarah Veria, and Talia Mulder, and then a forward line of Hayley Miller, Megan Kaufman, Gabby O'Sullivan.
Ange Stannett.
And Ange Stannett, and just going, what are you doing? Like, what is going on?
And I think the frustrating thing here as well with Hayley Miller is last year a lot of people pivoted to Hayley Miller when Bowers was that laid out. Scored a 54. A lot of people traded her out again. She then had 2 weeks where she scored 108 and 94. And then she scored an 18. And then basically 50s, 60s, 30s, 40s in that middle band playing as a half forward.
Bad. She is not a natural half forward.
It was staggering to watch from a neutral supporter point of view, regardless of fantasy going. She is an All-Australian caliber midfielder that is just getting cold in a forward pocket.
Lost, looks so lost and very like passive as a result at contests. And it was frustrating from fantasy perspective, but also knowing the talent that she has, and she's a burst player out the front of stoppages, and we got to see none of that. So given we know she's a 90 averaging midfielder, to be priced at 60, I'd be, if I got word, you know, guaranteed she's starting midfield, I think she presents some great value priced where she is. But I just don't know. I don't know what's going on at Fremantle. And then for Megan Kaufman, this is someone who, again, if you were going to say, oh, who is the player most likely, like doesn't have the injuries but plays a lot like Kiara Bowers and Stannett, there is Megan Kaufman as well, who does love a tackle and really bust her ass to get through stoppages with power. I loved what I saw from her at times last year. Now, albeit as a forward, it's a little bit more difficult this year as a midfielder, but sitting where she is at 60, I think this is another player who could push up into an 80 average, just the way that she plays and the way she accumulates tackles and possessions when she plays in the midfield. They're down low because I don't trust it happening.
Yeah. It's just so hard to pick, and Fremantle are going to be arguably the most important team for us to watch this preseason to see how they're lining up, because there is going to be value here. We just have no idea where it's going to be.
Yeah, or if it's going to be enough, because if they've got too many cooks in the kitchen, then I just start to go, well, why bother? But, you know, I think the midfield group particularly will be one of the most watched kind of position groups across the entire competition once those preseason games roll around.
Yeah, for sure. So for the host special, the Will special, I've gone for Gabby Newton, basically because she could fit anywhere into the Fremantle puzzle.
Oh, you're saying she's a versatile player.
She's a versatile player where she was really starring as a intercept defender for the Bulldogs, and was scoring quite well there. If that role continues, happy days. She's...
who knows?
She could end up being a key forward alongside Anya Tai, who is probably a very good option in herself because she's one of the few forwards that we know is going to actually have a role, though may end up as a backup ruck depending on injuries. But yeah, Gab Newton has the talent to end up in that midfield, and we've seen that the Fremantle coaches aren't afraid to throw their players into that midfield. We saw Ange Stannett do it, having played mostly off a halfback flank. We've seen Sarah Veria, who haunts my dreams after my Sarah Veria call in the first season. I was so confident that she was going to take the next step, and then the role didn't allow it. Maybe Sarah Veria is the player to go for. If you go back to our very early episodes, that's what I was saying back then. Maybe I should say it now.
And she had two games with CBAs last year, and those were two highest scoring games. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I won't be touching it this year, but I can see why you might.
I can't do it in good faith. It's burnt me basically for two consecutive years. So
yeah, don't touch it.
Yeah. So to me, Gabo Sullivan is the obvious one that you've gone for in terms of that forward role. It's basically just, is Gabby Newton, and this is going to be a tricky one for the getting the Gabbies right, but basically, is Gabby Newton going to be playing as an intercept defender? Does that free up Emma O'Driscoll? I've got no idea. But Gabby Newton is too talented a player not to consider, even though she probably doesn't present a huge amount of value. I do think she is a player that can boost her average by maybe 5-10 points quite easily, role depending, and I guess we'll see what that is, because much like pretty much every player we've talked about here, I've honestly got no clue what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why she wasn't in my top five, albeit under some consideration. I think she probably just scored a little bit too well last year as a defender on a team that really, really sucked, and so sat at, you know, a top 10 defender average coming into this year makes it hard to find that extra value. And I don't know if she'll get that as a forward, because as we saw last year, Fremantle really did struggle when it came to scoring.
Exactly. And she's basically just very similar to Emma O'Driscoll in that sense. Played a very similar role for the Bulldogs, slightly lower scoring. So Emma O'Driscoll's clearly the safer option as the defender there. I guess we'll leave it there for Freo. Probably the key takeaway is that we've got very little idea about Freo, so watch the preseason. But we have given their best 21 a go. That'll be up on our socials for those who follow us. If not, go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FreekickWPod. I've been Will.
And you've had me, Liam.
And now we have a very exciting interview that Mel conducted with Megan Kaufman. Hopefully that will clear a few things up, because we didn't have that information. So you've now got some very exciting stuff coming. Keep listening. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
So today, as part of Free Kicks Fremantle team review, we're very fortunate to be able to interview Megan Kaufman. Megan, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you. So how's the official preseason been this last month?
Yeah, it's been really good. Really cracked in. It's great having Lisa Webb for a second year and being able to work on our game plan for another year and really build on it. It's exciting to have some new faces as well and seeing them out in the track. So, no, yeah, tracking really well.
Awesome. So you mentioned the consistency of having Lisa Webb, but we noticed there's also been a change in the leadership recently with Ange Stannett taking up the captaincy. Obviously, it's a massive loss for the club and for everyone that enjoys watching Freo that Ange has done her ACL. It's so devastating. But how has it been having the new leadership, but also having a captain from the sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ange is such a valuable person at our club. And I mean, that goes to show with her having the captaincy. It's something that, yeah, we're really excited about and having her impact, and we know the impact that she can have regardless if she's out on the field or not. So, yeah, she's really eager to get stuck in and help everyone out, but also excited with having the three vice captains that are also really strong in their own right to lead us out on the field. And that's kind of how the structure came about, of having a really well-rounded leadership team on and off the field. It kind of goes into a lot of things that we value as a club, of not just the things that we do out on the field, but also the culture that we have off the field as well. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's a change, but it's something that the players have really embraced.
Yeah, love it. So in terms of you, last season we saw you run through the midfield a bit, but we also saw you spend some more time forward, including round 8 against Melbourne, where you kicked 3 goals, which is huge.
Yeah.
Where are you looking to spend more time this season?
Yeah, a little bit of a mix again. I'll probably be running through the mid and the forward lines again this season. Hopefully a few more minutes through the midfield, obviously with some players out, Ange and Turbo.
Mm.
There's some new opportunities for players, not just myself, but to, yeah, have a real crack in the midfield and make a real impact. So, yeah, nothing too different from last year. But, yeah, hopefully get a few more minutes through there.
Yeah, obviously Turbo going out first with her pregnancy announcement, very exciting. But
yes.
Freo's had a pretty Turbo-dominant midfield for its entire existence. Only a few games last season, really, where we saw her out, and then Ange Stannett with her ACL. So that leaves some pretty big gaps in the midfield, like you said. Who else can we expect to see running through there as well as you? Like, who else does it open opportunities up for?
Yeah, so, yeah, a lot of opportunities, I think, for our younger players, like Eastie, Dana East. We've got some new faces like Ash McCarthy from the Eagles that will probably likely running through there. But, yeah, I think a lot of Haley, a lot of the kind of real bulk of the midfield as well, not really changing. Gabby O'Sullivan running through. I think there'll be a lot of options and a lot of opportunities, like I said, for players to really showcase their strengths and their talents, regardless of the line that they're playing in. I think, you know, we're really strong on, we're not a one-woman show. We had some games last year where Turbo wasn't playing and we played really well and won those games. So we've showcased our talent and our strength across the board. So, yeah, it's obviously a change, but I think players are really excited and embracing the change and the opportunity.
One of the younger mids that I was kind of excited about was Talia Mulder.
Yeah, TJ, yep.
Is she someone else we might see training?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. She's been training really well through the preseason. So excited to see her really build and get a good run through there as well.
Awesome. Okay, so then some of the players you just listed, Hayley Miller and Gabby O'Sullivan, were players that we have often also seen in the forward line. When I think about Frio's forwards, Anya Tighe, just absolutely dominant. Love watching her up there. Such a great kick. And then you've also brought in Ash Brazil this season. Are there any kind of dedicated players that will be sticking to the forward line, or is it more a bit of a rotation across everyone between forward and mid?
Yeah, a bit of a rotation across a few players. Obviously, Anya Tighe as some key forwards. We've got some smaller forwards that are also kind of bringing that first versatility to our forward line as well. But like I said, yeah, we really like having players that can play through multiple lines. You never know what happens in games. And Gabby Newton as well, training through the forward and different lines as well. So having, yeah, versatility across all lines is, I think, a strength of ours and something that, as well as players, it really helps in our development.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I was looking at some of the club lists, Frio's got the most versatility, or one of the most versatilities in terms of like flexibility for players to run through everywhere, which is great from a watching perspective, not so great from a fantasy perspective. So it makes it very interesting for me.
make it complicated.
And Gab Newton, who you just mentioned, new joiner to Frio as well this year. We saw her play a bit more of intercept defender role last year, but we know that she can play forward. So is she kind of training across both, or has she put in a preference to play one more than the other?
I'm not sure about her preference, but I think, yeah, again, like having some versatility through there, being able to provide some added forward, I guess, weaponry, if you will, but as well as, I know that she's played some time inside in the middle as well. So, again, she's a very versatile, very talented player, obviously. So, yeah, it's exciting to have her on board and see the impact that she can make.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. And in terms of the defenders, someone that I would expect to be training predominantly in her role would be Emma O'Driscoll.
Yeah.
Is she kind of like looking steady there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously she had a really great year last year. She's always looking to build. I think it was really exciting for her coming into the leadership group this year. She really brings, you know, a lot of knowledge and a lot of, yeah, great energy and positivity to the group. So, yeah, she's been training really solidly. And, yeah, hopefully, yeah, she can just keep building on her what she already has is a great season and just keep bringing it into this one.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, actually, we're up to our last question, and we like to ask this of all of our interviewees, which is who have you been most excited to watch this preseason and who looks to have a massive 2024? And before you answer, I would just like to mention that last season we interviewed Hayley Miller, who said Anya Tighe, and we interviewed Laura Pugh, who said Anya Tighe, and Megan Kaufman. So, you know.
Ah!
And she wasn't wrong.
yeah, that's exciting. That's hard. There's a couple. I think Mim is always really exciting. She's really strong, not just in her ruck craft, but I think also what she brings just around the ground and also in her leadership. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Obviously, I mean, last year she had a great season as well. So just, yeah, and how consistent she is as well. So I think Mim will be looking to have, yeah, a really solid year. I'm also excited to see Maddie Scanlon. She's been training really well, similar to Drisco and her ability to intercept and read the play. And she's obviously a young player. So, yeah, really excited for what she can do and, yeah.
Love it. Okay, but if you have to pick one of those three?
I pick one. I'll go with Mim then. I'll go with Mim.
Nice. Excellent. Well, hopefully we can interview Mim next year then and carry on this chain of picking the exciting players.
Definitely.
Awesome. That was great chat. Thank you very much. We're really looking forward to seeing what Frio can bring together this year.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.